the kinos are very difficult, obviously, and I don't know if we'll do this every day, but every day we'll do different things, Eicha, kinos, but today I want to do with you at least one of the kinos. Mr. Nisbaum is giving out sheets. This is just the beginning. I have here more, but we're not going to have time to go through the entire thing. Just to focus on some of the major ideas and themes of Kina Yud. The kinos are numbered. There are, I think, a total of 45. I don't even know how many kinos there are. You say the first five are set at night. And then by day, the last kina is number 45. That's the numbering system for the Ashkenaz. You know, the Sardin have their own kinos, Taimonim have their own kinos. Every community has different kinos. So this is just a photocopy of the beginning, just the first couple of lines. He's giving out two pages of Kina Yud. Kina Yud begins with the words Eicha Yoshiva Chavatzeles Hasharon. It says, okay, so you have the Goldschmidt edition, I'm sorry. Okay, the Goldschmidt edition, they have a different numbering system. This is a classic Goldschmidt. The Goldschmidt edition of the Kinos is a classic. He was a Bucky Muflug in Kinos and has his own edition. I'm using here in front of me the art scroll, and most of the more common editions have Chavatzeles Hasharon as number 10. It doesn't make a difference which number it is. Now, what is this Kino all about? It is all about the Mishmoros, the 24 Mishmoros of Kohanim. We know that the Kohanim were divided into 24 groups. These 24 groups, it's a Gemara Masechta Tainis, and these groups, they came about in stages. Originally, they were less. I don't remember the exact numbers. 18 groups. Over a period of time, the number of the Kohanim were divided into different groups. And in the time of the Bayis Sheni, here, he's up here. In the time of the Bayis Sheni, yeah. There were 24 groups of Kohanim. Yeah. Each group would serve in the Beis HaMikdash for 1 week at a time. So another way, it would alternate. That means every 24 weeks, your group was called to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, and you did Avodah for 1 week. Each group itself was broken up into six parts, called the Shisha Batei Avos. And each group of these would work one of the first 6 days of the week. The first Sunday, the first group would work. The second Monday would be another group. On Shabbos, they would all serve together. So that basically means a Kohen would only do Avodah in the Mikdash approximately twice a year. Once in 24 weeks, the Mishmer was called to the Mikdash. They had quarters for them in the Beis HaMikdash. And each individual Kohen would serve one day during the week that his Mishmar served. Yom Tov, they all came together. It's not clear exactly how they can be so many Kohanim there in the Midrash at the same time. Okay, there are a lot of miracles which happened, but Yom Tov, they also, even on Shabbos, everyone served together, both the Mishmar from the previous week and the Mishmar of the following week. Now these Mishmaros had names. And in Divrei Hayamim, the names of the 24 Mishmaros are listed. Their names are actually listed. In this Kina, their names are different because we're referring primarily to the Mishmaros of the Bayis Sheni. And the time of the Bayis Sheni, the Mishmaros were not the same as the Mishmaros of the Bayis Rishon. In addition to Klal Yisrael, all the Kohanim divided into 24 groups, they were also... they also lived in their own cities. Every Mishmar had a separate city where they lived. And that's why the Gemara speaks sometimes in Ir Shekula Kohanim, a city of only Kohanim. It refers to one of the 24 Mishmaros of Kohanim. Some of these cities were only Kohanim, members only. And once in 24 weeks, they would come up to the Beis HaMikdash to do their avoda. Now in this Kina Yud, there are 24 paragraphs. The beginning of each paragraph begins with a word from the first perek, a pasuk from perek Eicha. So that's why the first paragraph begins with Eicha, Eicha, Yoshva. That's the first two words of Eicha, of the perek, of the first perek. And then And then when you go to the second Bochol Tifke, that's the second pasuk of the first parak of Eicha. The third paragraph is Golsa, that's the third pasuk of the first parak, and so on and so forth. So the first word of each paragraph corresponds to the first word of each pasuk of the first parak of the first parak of Eicha. The last word of each of the 24 paragraphs is the name of the Mishmar, of a particular Mishmar, or the name of the city of the Mishmar, or a sin, or it's an expression that defines a sin that a particular Mishmar committed, and why they were deserving of punishment, of exile, and Churban. So to review, we have over here in this kina, it's a very complex kina, very beautiful kina, a lot of different sense. One of the more elaborate kinas of Tisha B'Av, 24 paragraphs in this kina. Each one of the paragraphs corresponds to one of the 24 mishmaros. Each paragraph begins with a word, a pasuk in the beginning of Megillas Eicha. The last word of each paragraph refers to one of the 24 mishmaros. Now, there are a lot of some of the other interesting yisod. We know that on Tisha B'Av, it's a day where we commemorate not just the Churban Bayis Rishon. The Gemara tells us about five things that happened on Tisha B'Av. The Bayis Rishon was destroyed, the Bayis Sheni, Beitar, Nechasha, the ear, the Yerushalayim was plowed over, the period of time later on was plowed over, and the fifth thing was that it was decreed that the 600,000 Jews, the 3 million Jews in the Midbar, would not enter Eretz Yisrael. So those are the five things that are recorded again, one more time. And there was a decree, they came, it was the Bechila Doros, the Meraglim returned, and they spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to, they would not enter Eretz Yisrael, the Bayis Rishon was destroyed, the Bayis Sheni was destroyed, Beitar was destroyed, and at a period later in time, Yerushalayim was plowed over. It was any trace that the Midrash was once there was removed. However, we are well aware that we also observe on Tisha B'Av, we commemorate other tragedies. What else do we read in the Kinos? We read about the First Crusade, what happened in 1096 in France, Germany. The First Crusade, as the Christians marched to Eretz Yisrael to free Yerushalayim from control of the infidels of the Muslim world, they slaughtered many communities in France, in Germany, along the Rhineland. And that is something that we also commemorate on Tisha B'Av. There are four complex kinos that describe in detail, that mention the Churban of the First Crusade. What else do we mention in kinos? We mention the Sreifas HaTalmud, which took place in the year 1242, in, I think it was, what?
It was 1254.
1254? Okay, well, we have to look, whatever it is. But the Sreifas HaTalmud in France, in Paris, this was an outgrowth of Sinas Chinam. What happened in that situation? We know that the Jews of Spain had a very different approach to Yadus, serving Hashem, than the Jews of France and Germany. The Jews of Spain, they embraced the secular world. They participated. They served Hashem by participating in the culture of the secular world. The Jews of France and Germany were isolated. They lived, they completely distanced themselves from anything secular, and they lived very pure lives. And there was friction between these two communities as which is a better approach to serve Hashem. And this friction exploded when the Rambam published the Mor Nevuchim and Sefer Hamada, where the Rambam basically was following the approach of the Jews of Spain, which was more an approach which embraced secular society, you participated. And this led to the Sinas Chinam, which got way out of hand, where groups of people burnt the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim and Sefer Hamada. Not long after that, there was an apostate who was malshin on the Jewish people that the Talmud is full of kfira. Everything that it says in the Talmud is connected the beliefs of the Christians. And this led to debates and led to tsaros, where ultimately 24 cartloads of the Talmud Bavli was collected and was publicly burnt in the town square in Paris. And the Gedolim of the time interpreted that this terrible tragedy of these 24 cartloads, this was 200 years before the invention of the printing press. So each manuscript, each Talmud Bavli was handwritten. And when this tragedy occurred, it was the beginning of the end of French Jewry. It was a very, very great tragedy, and many of the Gedolim of the time interpreted this as a punishment of Kadosh Baruch Hu because of the sinas chinam, which was uncontrolled, which resulted in the burning of the Svarim of the Rambam, Sefer Hamad and Mor Nevuchim, this incredible sinas chinam, to the point where they noted that the ashes of these 24 cartloads of Talmud mingled with the ashes of the Rambam Sefer Hamad. So it was viewed by the Gedolim as a door. This happened as a fast day. Some people actually fast every year on Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas. They asked through a She'ilas Chalom. They somehow communicated with heaven, and they were told the Targum of the first Pasuk in Sefer, in Parshas Chukas, Do Gezera Sarai. So this was a Gezera decreed from on high that this should happen. And being that this happened during the time of when there was this terrible sinasrin between the Jews of Spain and the Jews of France, which manifested itself in the burning of the Rambam's works, and the ashes actually mingled with each other, they interpreted this as a punishment for the terrible sinasrin which existed at that time. Who observed this event? The famous Marame Ramberg. Marame Ramberg, he was there. He was 22 years old at the time. He observed this terrible thing, and shortly thereafter, he wrote a kina, famous kina, which now numbering system, kina mem beis, 42, which records the Srefas HaTalmud, Sha'ali Srufa Ba'esh. So we see, at least from the kinas that Ashkenazim recite, there are two other events that seemingly have nothing to do with Tisha B'Av that are recited on Tisha B'Av. The First Crusade, four kinos devoted to the First Crusade. The Srefas HaTalmud in the year, I think it was 1242, from France, Paris, of Marame Ranberg, Sha'ali Srufa Ba'esh. So have Salavechik, Rav Yosher Ber Salavechik, he says something which is amazing. He says, what else besides the five things? This Kina Yud, because these 24 Mishmaros of Kohanim, which lived in 24 different cities, were destroyed. They were sent into exile, or they were destroyed, and we know for a fact that these 24 cities were not destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Many of these cities were destroyed at all different points in time, before, by the Romans, on all different dates, different periods of time. And yet, it is on Tisha B'Av that we focus on the Churban of the 24 cities, Mishmaros of Kohanim. It's another example where we find ourselves mourning over events that did not happen on Tisha B'Av itself. Of course, you can say, well, the Kohanim, they did service in the Beis HaMikdash. So when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so it's only natural we should focus on the people that are devoted to the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim. But it's more than that. These were independent cities. These were groups of people. They had their own, and it was a terrible, each city in itself was a terrible Churban. It did not happen on Tisha B'Av. But Tisha B'Av is a day of a collective mourning for Klal Yisrael. Okay, so the Bechina begins with the words Yashra Chavatzelas Hashra. Chavatzelas means a rose of the Sharon. Chavatzelas is a new trick, and we say this on Yom Kippur. We say Yachbi'enu Betzel Yachbi'enu Betzel Yodo. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may He shelter us in His shadow, the shadow of His hand. Chavatzelas Chavui, the Ches and the Beis stand for Chavui, shelter, to be concealed, and Tzel is shade. So Chavatzelas HaSharon means that it's an expression referring to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is a place where Klal Yisrael, they shelter themselves in the shade of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the service of the Kohanim. Now the first line is, there's much discussion about the first line, V'dama Meroin Mipi Noisei Aron. The song was silenced from those who carried the Aron. Now, who carried the Aron? Now, we know in the Midbar, without question, the Aron was carried by the Levim. The question is, what happened when they came into Eretz Yisrael? Who carried the Aron as they entered Eretz Yisrael? So there's a place when the Rambam, what? The way around?
When they crossed the Yarden, no?
When they crossed the Yarden.
Yeshua.
So who took over carrying the Aron? That's the whole the Kehanim. So the Kehanim. Okay, that's the machloikis. Okay, that's the, I'm getting a little bit confused, but you're right. There's a machloikis from the Rambam. The Rambam exactly who carries the or carries on. Is it the Levim or is it the Kohanim? Now, seemingly, since this whole kina refers to the Kohanim, we should focus on the Kohanim. But yet, it says roin, the song. Who sings in the Beis Hamikdash? The Levim sing in the Beis Hamikdash. So it seems that since we're discussing those who sing, and then it says the Nosi Aron, it's a riot that the ones that are carrying the Aron, who carried the Aron when they came into Eretz Yisrael, was not the Kohanim, it was the Levim. And why then are we referring to the Levim here in this Kina? It's not clear, it's just like an introduction when we get into the 24 Mishmaros of Kohanim. Others, however, understand this to mean that the other way around, the Kohanim carry the Aron. Here we learn that when there is a shortage of Kohanim, the ones that are allowed to sing are the, when there's a shortage of Levim, the ones who are allowed to sing the song, the sing are the Kohanim. It's a very big chiddush that Kohanim are also allowed to sing Shira in the Beis Hamikdash when there is a shortage of Levim.
Who's touched on the Bible?
What? This is Goldschmidt. Goldschmidt. This is the one who wrote this. It's a classic. This is a very famous. He brings down, so what does he bring down?
Yeshua
Dalit. So the ones that sang, I have to see it inside to see exactly. I didn't review what his notes. Okay, let's go to the next one. So the first one, the first Mishmar is called Moron. Moron refers specifically to Yehoyarif. Now this we know from the Gemara. The Gemara says that the Mishmar that was on duty at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, the name of that Mishmar was Yehoyarif. And the reason why they're called here Moron was because they rebelled. They were not, we should say better, Ka Heriv and Bonav. It's really based on Hashem quarreled. Yehoyarif comes from the expression Hashem quarreled with his children because of their sins. So the word Moron means to rebel. And it's short for Yehoyarif, because the end of the word Yehoyarif is Riv, is a quarrel, and that's what we're referring to the first Mishmar, the Mishmar which was on duty when the Mikdash was destroyed, both during the time of the Bayis and the Bayis Sheni. Okay, the next paragraph talks about that's the famous Kinar Koyin V'Navi. Now this is a very interesting idea. Bochor Sifke M'chumeshes Sfarim. You don't have.
You gave us the last page. Not
I gave. Okay, it's fine. Okay, so I'll read outside. I made a mistake. Which page I gave? Let me just read outside. Just some interesting ideas. About this kina. The second line discusses the fact that the reason why they were exiled was because of the sin, the murder of Zechariah. This kina encompasses. You know, there are two kinas devoted entirely to the murder of Zechariah. But yet in this kina we have one line which mentions that as well. This kina almost to a certain degree summarizes all the kinos. There are 24 paragraphs. In each paragraph it describes a particular sin. It mentions a pasuk in Eicha and describes a certain mishmar. So a lot of things are going on in each paragraph. And in the second paragraph it mentions the murder of Zechariah. Zechariah was a Kohen Gadol. He was a Navi. It was Shabbos. It was Yom Kippur. He was giving the people Musar. They should not worship Avodah Zarah. And he got in their way. And they decided, no, we'll kill him. And the one that it says the Pharisee in Divrayim, the one that gave permission for him to be executed was none other than the king himself, Yoyash. Yoyash himself gave permission for this person, Zechariah, to be murdered in the Beis HaMikdash. There's an entire kingdom devoted to the servant of Nebuzaradan. Nebuzaradan, when he came to the Beis HaMikdash to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, many years later he saw that his blood was bubbling. There was blood that was bubbling in the Beis HaMikdash, and he wanted to know the nature of the blood. So the Kohanim tried to hide and say, this is just blood of a carbon. And after he conducted a number of experiments, he saw that it's not blood of an animal, not of a par, an aisle, keves. And he figured out, he was eventually told that this was the blood of Zechariah that was murdered on Shabbos, Yom Kippur, who was a Kohen Gadol and was a Navi in the Beis HaMikdash, because he was telling the people not to worship Avodah Zarah. His blood was seething, was bubbling, and the Zardan decided he's going to appease the blood by killing the Sanhedrin, and then he killed other people, and he killed 80,000 young Kohanim, Pirchei Kohanim were killed in order to attempt to appease the blood of Zechariah, and the blood did not stop bubbling, and he said to Zechariah, to the blood, I've killed the best, do you want me to finish them off entirely? At that point in time, the blood stopped. Now, what Rav Soloveitchik points out, which is very, very interesting, is that this chait of Nera Kohen V'Navi was something which occurred during the time of the Bayis Rishon. And in fact, if we go to this kina, there are many things here that are very specific towards the time during the chait, chaton, that occurred during the time of the Bayis Rishon. Like it mentions later on that they mocked the Nevi'im. There were only Nevi'im during the time of the Bayis Rishon. There were no Nevi'im during the time of the Bayis Sheni. There was Avod Zara, it says here. The all different types of chatoms. But yet, this kina focuses on the mishmoros of the Bayis Sheni. So there is a complex mix of Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, which is a fascinating thing, that the punishments that are coming to the people of the Bayis Sheni is a holdover from sins that took place during the time of the Bayis Rishon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was patient, and he did not vent out his full anger at the time of the Bayis Rishon, and save some of the punishment for the Churban of the Bayis Sheni, which is, it's a fascinating thing. So we think that the Bayis Rishon was destroyed, for Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shlichas Namim, finished! We paid our due. We paid our due and we're finished. Then there was Golus for 70 years. Then they rebuilt the Bayis Sheni. It was a clean slate. A clean slate. And then 420 years later, Hashem said there's too much sin aschinam and there's going to be punishment. And the punishment of the Bayis Sheni has nothing to do with the punishment of the Bayis Rishon. That's not so. We see from here this kina that we're focusing primarily on the Churban of the 24 Mishmaros of Kohanim that existed at the time of the Bayis Sheni. And it's clear that the reason why they're being punished because of the chatam that were committed during the time of the Bayis Rishon. So we see here, this really sets a tone for all the kinos, is that chait, punishment for chait, sometimes can be preserved for many, many generations until HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that now is the time that it is fit to bring about the punishment. Okay, there's another very interesting thing over here in this kin that talks about one of the chatam is the very interesting idea. Zohar, remember Zman Asher Nasa V'Nishma Heshira. Remember the time when the Jewish people, they said Nasa V'Nishma, but V'Yata now. Anois Amen Loyav. I don't think you have it in yours. I'm reading for you over here from what I have. But in the kina it says that I remember the time when they said Nasa V'Nishma, but now they refuse to answer Amen. Now, Amen, that's an incredible thing, that this kina is coming to tell us that there is a relationship between Amen and Nasa V'Nishma. In the good old days, the Jewish people, they said Nasa V'Nishma. And now, they don't even want to say Amen. Rabbi Soloveitchik, he goes on, I heard on the tape, it's not really in the book, but Rabbi Shachter, by J.J. Shachter, with the protege of Rabbi Soloveitchik, one of his big Talmidim, and he recorded in great detail the Shiurim that Rabbi Soloveitchik said on Tisha B'Av. He says that he never ever heard Rabbi Yashaver Soloveitchik give Musar. He never gave Musar. He never preached. Never. He taught, he was a Rebbe. He taught Torah. They learn Musar by being in his Seviva, being in his environment. They Mimela, it was a Musar Shmuz. But he never spoke. He never opened his mouth to why are you doing this? You shouldn't be doing this. And this is Usar, and this is Usar, and this is... Never. One exception. The only time he ever gave Musar was when he darshan on these words, V'ata anois amein loy avu. The chait of not answering Amen, talking during Chazar Sashatz. during Chazar Sashatz in Shul is the only time. How could you talk during Chazar Sashatz? And when you tell people to be quiet, no, it's mamish, it's scary. It's exactly what it says in the kinos. I remember the good old time when they said Nasa V'Nishma. And now, Anoy Samen, Loy Avu, they refuse to answer Amen. They're too busy talking. This is the only Musar of Yosher Ber Soloveitchik he ever heard him give. incredible insight. But it's also very idea that every time you say Amen, never think of this. The Amen is equivalent to saying Na'aseh v'nishma. That's what it's saying in the Sekhinah. You daven. Again, you hear the Kriyas HaTorah, we remember, oh, the Klal Yisrael, wonderful, Na'aseh v'nishma. They said Na'aseh before they said Nishma. Nishma means to understand, Na'aseh means to do. They had complete faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We learn this, we hear about this, Rabbanim Midarshim about this. Yeah, this was a one-time event that happened 3,000 years ago. Yeah, it's good, it's nice drush. This Kina says that's really what Amen is. Amen is Mitrikin Kel Melech Neman. Hashem is a God of faith, He's a King of faith. Faith means you have to follow Him blindly. What is Na'aseh v'nishma? To follow Hashem blindly. It is a reenactment of Na'aseh v'nishma every time you say Amen. That's really what this Kina is saying. It's contrasting the good old days with what we have today. It says here in this Kina that Ki Chaloya Chuyavti Kedor Hamabo. That's a very scary expression. That we were set for destruction like the Dor Hamabo. That means the sins were so great. Ki Hishchis Kol Basar Darkoi Al Aretz. That's a very powerful expression for the Kalir to say about us that we were Chayiv Misa to such a degree. Okay, what other ideas?
So they didn't answer Amen in the time of Bayashay?
He's giving them Musar. He's giving them Musar that they did not, that they refused to, well, obviously it has to be interpreted deeper, that they refused to express their faith to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Amen. When a person says Amen, what are you saying? He's saying Kel Melech Neman. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a God that is faithful. What he's saying is the people refuse, part of the chait of Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni is they refuse to express their faith. Emun is the most important thing. The Gemara in the end of Masechet Bracha and Masechet Makos says that Bizman Hazeh were very weak. The Gemara goes through all of the Nevi'im, all the different, Bizman Hazeh were very weak. It used to be that we can focus on all of the Tayag Mitzvos. Bizman Hazeh were very weak. We cannot focus b'shleimus in every. We have to limit our attention to a selective group of mitzvahs. And the Gemara goes down and breaks up certain numbers. The final Gemara says, Bochav HaKok V'Mim Lachas. And what is that? Amen. The most important thing is emunah. The tzaddik be'emunaso yichya. The most important thing to focus on in our times is the idea of emunah. That is the most important thing. And here he's complaining that at the time of the Churban, Klal Yisrael did not fulfill what was required of them in regard to emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same as the Vardim. And we went to this over here about, we had Chazal tell us, Gadol ha'oina amen yoysa min ha'mavarech. The one that ants amen is greater than the one that makes the bracha. Why is that so? When you make a bracha, there are two parts. There is the Shem Hashem, and there is the concept of Malchus. Baruch ato Hashem, Elokeinu, Melech ha'olam. Two different themes in every single bracha. The Shem Hashem and Malchus. When you answer Amen, what do you say? Amen. Kel, Melech, same too. I agree. Hashem is Kel. He is the God. I acknowledge that He's not just any God. He is the Melech ha'olam. But I also acknowledge Neman, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is faithful. Neman, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, there is a Muna. We have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He will be true to His promises. That is the great, that is the advantage of Amen over the Mevarech. The Mevarech only expresses two of the three ideas. Shem Hashem and Malchus. The one that answers Amen is greater because not only does he say Kel and Melech, he also says Neman. Here the chen is described as they refuse to say Amen. That was the chen. There was a time when they said Na'aseh v'nishma. Na'aseh v'nishma is interesting. What is Na'aseh v'nishma? It's emunah. It's not kel. It's not melech. It's emunah. And now they refuse to say Amen. It could be during the time of the Bayis Yishu Bayis Sheni, maybe they acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu existed, they acknowledged Hashem was the Melech. But what was lacking was the tzaddik be'emunasu yichye, the lacking, the advantage that Amen has over the Mevarech. Okay, we'll stop with that today. Tomorrow we'll try to do something else.